Psalm 113, the Word of God says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people together. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." Wonderful. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for the words that we've read. Thank you for the Word of God that is so powerful in our lives. And we see this today not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And Lord, we spoke just recently of its inspiration, its preservation, of its inexhaustibility, its indestructibility. And thank you for it. Lord, today we look to its pages to receive instruction and encouragement on this Mother's Day. Lord, I thank you for each mom that is here today. Thank you for the wonderful miracle of motherhood, the miracle of life and birth and family. And so, Lord, we praise you along with this psalm today. We praise you for mothers, and we ask for your blessing upon our service today. And may we honor and glorify you in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Psalm 113, as you read, is just a powerful psalm of praise. Let's look at each verse as we enter into it. Verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord." I think he's saying that we should praise the Lord. You think so? And so verse 2, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." If I ever get discouraged, I turn to Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 19. I like to look at the end, how it's all going to fall out. Let me tell you something, friend. The Lord's going to be praised forever. No matter what's going on around us nowadays, Philippians chapter 2, one of these days, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And thank God for that. And so, eternal praise. Verse 3, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same is the Lord's name to be praised." So we should be praising him all day. Wonderful outline we see here. Verse 4, "The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heaven." That's interesting. Our loyalty to the Lord should be above our loyalty to our nation. And his glory is above the heavens. Whatever you enjoy, whatever you like, whatever you lift up in your life, whatever's most important to you, the Lord should be high above all of that. He should be the pinnacle of our devotion and of our passion. Verse 5, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?" Of course, we know there's only one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And what's so special about this God? Not only is he almighty, not only is he all-powerful and the creator and all of these things, but verse 6, "Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth." He's not just a God who is powerful, he's a God who cares. He's a God of love. It would shock you to know how many religions around the world, that are supposedly mainstream religions, do not have the concept of a deity that loves them. Thank God we have a God who loves us. He loves us. He cares for you. Do you know he thought about you this morning? Do you know God thought about you this morning? I don't mean about your neighbor, I mean about you. This is what he's praising the Lord for. He humbles himself to care what's going on earth. Marvelous. Amazing. Psalm 139, we might look at it later. It says that if you could count the number of times he's thought about you, it would number more than the sand of the sea. God loves you. This God who is high above heaven, he created all that is. He cares about what's going on in your life. He cares about what's going on in your heart. The Bible even says he numbers the hairs on our head. That's getting easier for him as I get older. It's less to keep track of. I'll be reading my Bible and praying. I'll run my fingers through my hair and I'll see little hairs all over my Bible. I'm like, Lord, I'm being conformed into the image of something. I don't know what. But no, praise the Lord. God cares. It's amazing. And so he deserves praise for all these things. Look up verse 7, another reason to praise him. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Aren't you glad that God's able to raise you up? Whatever situation you're in today, however bleak it looks, maybe things look tough financially or family trouble or marital trouble or a relationship issue with children or parents or whatever the issue is, God is able to raise up those that be low. Don't you love that about God? I love the fact about God that no matter what situation I am, I know God's the answer. I love the fact about being a pastor that no matter what situation someone brings me in the counseling office in privacy, I know that God's the answer because he has the power to lift up those that be lowly, even the needy out of the dunghill. Do you know what that is? Or do you need an illustration? It's a manure pile. Well, you might be saying, I'm sitting here in a manure pile this morning. My life is like, I'm out in the barn. I'm out in the outcast. And God, oh, look to Jesus. Look to God. He's able to lift you up. Praise God for that. No wonder we should praise him. Look at verse 8. How high does he lift him? That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. And of course, the obvious illustration here is that of King David. He was found shepherding the sheep. And now, later in life, sitting in the palace. David never got over that. And I hope you and I never get over what God's done for you. I was with my family this week, and I just look around at my family. I'm like, look what God's done for me. Look where I come from. Look at the wife God's given me. Look at the children God's given me. Look where I get to live. Look at what my life is. And it's nothing because of what I've done. If I've done anything right, it's just been simply a following obediently whatever steps he lays out. But how is it possible that God would care about me and lift me up and be good to me? Oh, folks, this is the psalm here. It's giving us reasons to praise God. No wonder we should praise him. But then I like this last one. This is where we get down to our Mother's Day sermon. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. What's another reason to praise God? That God gave mothers. That God gave families. Watch this. God allows ladies to mother children. Not only is that a great miracle, it's a wonderful privilege. It may not seem like a privilege when you're changing diapers and getting spit up on and doing laundry and all that kind of stuff, but let me tell you something. It is a miracle of God what God does to allow ladies to become mothers. An absolute miracle, and I pray we never get over it. We've got some nurses in the a church and some folks who have medical training. And if you've ever been in the hospital, whether it's your own child or as a nurse or a medical professional, when a child is being born, isn't it just breathtaking? It's just awe-inspiring. It's like, how does this little baby come from nothing? From nothing. And then all of a sudden we have a new little life here. I want to talk to you this morning about the miracle of motherhood. The miracle of motherhood. And I want to do that in two phases. First, we're going to look at the miracle of motherhood, just God bringing children into the world. It's this miracle that life can be brought from nothing. And then secondly, the miracle of motherhood, that wonderful relationship that mothers bring, that mothers have. Listen, there is a very special relationship with dad, and we'll lift that up and bring that out on Father's Day. But there is just a special relationship with mom. It's just special. There's nothing else like it. And praise God for it. Think about how different life would be if you and I were like the animal kingdom where they just had their babies and then eventually most species eventually just walk off and, hey, God bless you. You know, they don't say God bless you. That's kind of personalizing it. But hey, hope you do well. You know, they just kind of walk off. No. Mom is involved, and praise God that God had the family plan, this plan that there would be a father and there would be a mother and they would have children. And that was his way of propagating humanity. But the family unit is so vital, and mom is so vital in this. So let me talk to you this morning for just a little bit about the miracle of motherhood. And I pray this will be a blessing to us. Let me say, number one, the miracle of motherhood, the conception of life. Think about that, the conception of life. A lady's going about her business, and then all of a sudden there's a new life in her belly. That's pretty radical. That's quite a big change. All of a sudden there's a new life. And then as they get older, I ask one of the moms here today, how you doing? How you feeling? Well, I'm doing all right. I said, the baby moving? Oh, yeah. And then that weirdest feeling, I've never experienced that as a woman, of course. But as a dad, you know, you put your hand on the belly and you feel that little thing kicking in. You better knock it off in there, boy. No. And you feel that baby in there kicking in. My wife used to say when my children, she'd be sitting in church and I'd be preaching and they'd get really active during preaching. And she used to tease me and say, I'd like to hear you preach. And it's just an amazing miracle that all of a sudden there is life. Amazing. Think about this conception. Look back at the verse 9. He maketh barren women to keep house. What is a barren woman? A barren woman is a woman who has either had no children or doesn't have the ability to have children. It is kind of an unusual thing and a very hurtful thing. There are ladies that just don't have the ability to have children. And for whatever reason, maybe some medical issue, but they just don't have the ability. And there is an emptiness there. There is God made ladies to, and men as well, to desire children. And let me say this, don't fall for this worldly idea. Well, I don't want to have any kids when I grow up. That is a worldly idea. That's a worldly concept. This idea that your life is more important than having children. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest investments you can make in your life and in the rest of the world is to have children. Don't fall for this idea that, well, we're just not gonna have kids. No, it's a blessing to have children. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. And obviously some people take that as a real challenge. But praise the Lord for it. It's a wonderful thing to have children. They're wonderful. Look at this, verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. Let me just say that there's a lot of ladies that would love to have toys to pick up when they get home. There's a lot of ladies that would love to have extra dishes in the sink, extra clothes to wash, extra messes to clean up. And what I want to encourage us about today is sometimes when you're in the thick of it and you're in the busyness of life and the busyness of family, sometimes we forget about what a privilege it is to have children. We forget what a privilege it is and how much we wanted these babies. Listen, I'll be very transparent. I was getting a little older, I was in my early 20s, and God hadn't brought along the woman that I was supposed to marry. And I tell you, I got to the place where I was really pretty lonely. I wondered if I would ever get married. I wondered if I would ever have children. And that kind of hurt my heart, because so desperately I wanted to love somebody. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have some children that, not just that would call me dad, but that I could call son, that I could call daughter. And still a wonderful privilege today. I was doing something, and this happens often. I'll be doing something with the kids or with the family, and I'll just stop everything and say, hey, just stop for a minute. I just want you to know how much I love you. I don't ever want to get over that. I don't ever want to get over, even in the busyness and trying to pay the bills and keep the schedules and do all these things. What an absolute privilege it is to have children. And so verse 9, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. So what's the difference between a barren woman and a joyful mother? Life. That spark of life. And let me tell you, it is a miracle of God how God allows through conception a baby to be born. God takes some genetic material from the father and some genetic material from the mother. And when those things come together, the spark of life happens and there's a new baby. Listen, you can take liver cells from mom and dad and put them together. That doesn't happen. You can take muscle cells and that doesn't happen. It's a very special and a sacred thing that God does when life is conceived. And this miracle comes together in something called life. Doctors, even yet today, and scientists, I don't think they should mess around with it, but they are trying to figure out, even yet today, how to spark this life on their own and how to spark these things in a test tube without normal biological details. And listen, folks, there is just something that God does at that moment. Watch this, ladies. The miracle of motherhood. God allows life to take place inside of you. Miracle. Absolute miracle. You go further, and when Jesus was trying to teach about salvation, he likened it to a birth. He called it the new birth. Remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came unto him, and Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a very high up. In our day and age, the comparison would be he'd had a lot of degrees. He'd had a lot of training. He was well respected in the religious community. But he didn't know the simple fact that he needed to be saved. He needed to have his sins forgiven through faith in the Messiah. And he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, he wanted to talk to him. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again? That's an interesting thought, born. And Nicodemus asked the question, how can I be born again? He said, do I have to enter again into my mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about the physical birth. You don't have to be born again spiritually or physically. You have to be born again spiritually. Now, it's interesting. What is this birth? What new birth was he talking about? Just like there was no life, and now all of a sudden there's a baby. Jesus said, just like that, spiritually, everybody has to go through this transformation where there is no life, and all of a sudden there is spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Our sins has us dead. We are spiritually dead. Listen, if you're looking for the zombie apocalypse, it's kind of happening right now spiritually. You got people walking around. They're living, they're breathing, but they're dead spiritually. And what happens? Jesus says, when you put your faith in me, there is a miraculous spark of life that happens. And your spirit comes to life. And now you're alive and you see the world differently and you can communicate with God. And now you have a brand new life. Your sins are forgiven. Miracle. Miraculous. But isn't it interesting that God compares physical birth with spiritual birth? From nothing to an eternal life. From death to eternal life. That's something. Here's an interesting thought. At what point does this new little thing inside a mother's belly become a life? Big debate over that nowadays, isn't there? All the debate over abortion and all these different things. And to me, it's not a political issue. But at what point does that little, I was listening to something recently and the lady said, well, it's just a bundle of cells inside of me. And the person responded back, well, technically you're just a bundle of cells. Well, yeah, it's true. You know, so at what point does that become life? But here's what Jesus did. Jesus called the new birth, the new birth. We think of birth as the baby coming out of the birth canal. Jesus called birth that moment that life's created. It's the new what? Birth. I personally believe, and I believe the Bible teaches very clearly, that the moment of conception is the moment of life. It's the moment of life. And listen, let me just say this. They frame it as pro-choice. And let me just say this because I think it's an intensely spiritual issue. You have the choice whether or not to have sex. You have the choice whether or not to get pregnant. You do not have the choice to kill the baby that's a result of your choices. If your body's so important to you, then protect it before pregnancy. Don't destroy the life that comes as a result of it. We okay? I think any sane person should be able to say, abortion for convenience is immoral. Any sane person ought to be able to agree to that. I believe the Bible teaches for any reason, but I'm just any sane person ought to be able to say that abortion simply for convenience is immoral. Why? Because we need to get back to respecting the miracle of conception. Respecting the miracle of this life that happens, this new birth. Amazing. And ladies, you're the vehicle God chose. You're the vehicle God chose to have this new life inside of you. What a privilege to be chosen. We often lift up Mary at Christmas time, and she was chosen to carry the Christ child. And what a privilege, amen? But I want to remind you today that you too are privileged, Mom, because you got to carry a new life. You got to bring a new life into this world. God chose you. What a blessing to do so. So we say the miracle of motherhood, the miracle of conception. Let me say about the new birth, the spiritual birth. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you're here and you're not sure your sins are forgiven, then Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life." What is the method of this new birth? How is one born again? Through simple faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He's the Son of God sent from heaven. I believe He died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe He rose again from the dead. And the Bible says it is my faith in that that makes the difference. Jesus paid for my sin on the cross so that I could go to heaven when I die. And if you're not sure you're going to heaven today, then what a wonderful day to get saved on Mother's Day. Amen. So let me say, number one, not only is the miracle of motherhood the conception of life, but number two, the formation of the baby. Look at Psalm 139. There's some amazing truths here in Psalm 139. Look at Psalm 139 and verse 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Now think about this. What is the womb? The womb is a very unique place that God has ordained for life to begin. I want you to think today that and understand today that the womb is sacred. Think about this. The womb is sacred. Its medical function is a place for life to begin and babies to be formed and birthed. That's it. That's what it's for. Think about this, ladies. Inside of each lady here, you have a very sacred place inside of you called a womb. Medical term, the uterus. I like womb better. And the Bible says here, it reminds us that, listen, there were some special things taking place in the mother's womb. This very sacred place. Not only is life conceived there, but the baby's body begins to be formed. Isn't it a miracle that God can take a few cells and create an entire functional, autonomous, separate human being from just a few cells? And even scientists recognize that stem cells are very special. Matter of fact, as part of the abortion debate years ago, they were talking about, can they take the stem cells from aborted babies and harvest them and use them for medical purposes? And I think it's like, wow, so now we're harvesting. We're using the term harvest for this. I mean, it just gets kind of crazy where these people go with this stuff. But listen to me, folks. This special place where there is some special things happening inside this mother's womb. And the Bible says here, look at the phrasing, verse 13, the second part of the verse, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now that word covered, you find that other places in the Bible, is a word that means protect. It's like my Bible. If I were to cover and protect my Bible, I would be doing this. I would be shielding my Bible with my body, protecting it. I am putting myself in between danger and whatever I'm protecting. That's a pretty powerful thought, isn't it? And see, what happens is when a baby is being formed in a mother's womb, God is involved. Medically and even from our viewpoint, we just kind of see this as, well, it just kind of happens. Just kind of like a plant just grows. You plant a seed and it just kind of pops up and grows. And you plant a tree and it just kind of pops up and turns into a tree. I believe the Bible teaches that God is involved in all of those things. And yes, some things are autonomous, autonomous as far as built in. Some things are just built so that you start the process and the things go. But listen, God is involved in a special way in the formation of a new child. The Bible says that he covers the womb. Imagine that. So ladies, you're here expecting today. Some of you just had babies. Some of you are expecting right now. Do you know that God is specifically involved in what's going on down here? And the Bible says God is covering. God's protecting. We often pray for the health of the baby, don't we? Lord, protect my baby. Oh, he is. That's still good to pray for it. But Lord, protect my baby. Lord, help them be formed properly. I always pray when I pray for babies, Lord, help the baby be formed according to thy will. Now watch this. Not only is he protected, look at verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. When we understand that the creation of a new child, the conception of a new child, and the creation of a new child is a miraculous act of God, then that changes how I see myself. Watch this. If you believe that you are a byproduct of accidental things called evolution, beneficial accidents they're called. So if you believe that you are a product of beneficial accidents, then you're just like everything else in the world. But the Bible has taught from the very beginning of the book of Genesis that mankind is different to God. He created the animals. He created the trees. He created the seas. He created the skies, sun, stars, moon, with the word of his mouth. When it came down for him to build Adam, he reached down into the clay of the earth and he formed man. And then he took his very own breath and he lifted up this lifeless body and he breathed into this lifeless form. And all of a sudden, Adam, this lifeless form, there is a moment of birth where he's alive. That is amazing and miraculous. And watch this. If you understand that you, sir, you, ma'am, are a specific and special creation of God, then you can look at yourself in the mirror differently. You're not like an animal. You're not like a reptile. You're not like anybody else, anything else in creation. You are special and specific. And praise God for that. And here the psalmist says, listen, I understand I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I understand that God did a good work in me. I was talking to one of our men earlier, and all this focus on how I look, and is my nose right, and are my eyes the right width apart, and am I too fat, or am I too skinny, or am I too tall, or am I too short? Listen, God made you special. He made you special. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You can take comfort in that fact. I liked what God made so much that I'm trying to create more of it. That's really my goal. I'm not fat on accident. It's a plan. No, it's really not. It's trying to get back to the way God intended me to be, but it's more difficult for some than others. If there weren't so many Dunkin' Donuts around, it would be so much easier, wouldn't it? They just put them everywhere. And no, but listen, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise the Lord for that. This is so wonderful. Look at verse 15, Psalm 139, verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. So you and I can't see physically with our eyes what's going on in the womb. We see the outside of the womb grow through ultrasounds and different things. They can kind of peek inside and see. But we can't really see what's going on, but God sees every little detail. The substance is not hid from God. God is very involved in what's happening in that sacred womb, that place that's made for babies to be created and conceived, and then the body is formed. But then I love this next phrase, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Curiously wrought, in the Hebrew that's one word, and it literally means to be strung together or embroidered. So I used to have a grandma that would do some embroidery. And she would take different colors and put them in, and she, you know, the needle was always moving. Now, I would always see it from the bottom, and it looked like a mess. Would you agree with that? It just looked like, what's going on up there? It looks like a mess. But when she was done, she would turn that embroidery around, and she knew how to make all those stitches and different colors go in different places, and it would be a beautiful picture. This is so beautiful about what God is doing. God is embroidering this child, taking all the pieces, the veins, the nerves, the muscles, the organs, weaving them together in this beautiful composition called a human body, which, by the way, the human body itself is a miracle. The way things function, the way things work, just you could pick an organ and look at it and it's miraculous. You can take the eyeball and look at it and it's miraculous. You can take a red blood cell and look at it and it's miraculous. You can take a cell and then look inside the cell. The deeper you go, all the way down to the atom, you see nothing but miracle after miracle after miracle and design, intelligent design and intention. It is amazing what we find. And so God in the womb, remember the womb is a sacred place where life is conceived and then the body's formed and he's weaving and growing and moving and then that baby grows. And I've always been interested that when a baby's born, it has everything it needs. It has two eyes, two ears, 10 fingers, 10 toes, all of these things. If things come out as they usually do, they have everything they need. These little children have everything they need and everything they're going to have for the rest of their lives. And all of that takes place under the point of completion inside this sacred place called the womb. What a special thing. Now, let me just say here quickly that ladies, feminism has taught ladies for generations that your highest calling is not to be a mother, but your highest calling is to have a career. Whether you have a career or not is not the issue to me today, but I want you to understand and believe and know that God made you very special. And he gave you a special body that houses not only the conception of life, but the formation of this miraculous body that's taking place. What a privilege. What an absolute privilege. So we see the, number one, the conception of the life. Number two, the formation of body. Number three, look at Psalm 22. It's amazing that not only is this body being formed inside of you, but as a lady, you are actually providing nutrition for the body. The whatever you eat, the baby gets to eat, right? How many ladies have said, well, honey, I'm eating for two. I need an extra bowl of ice cream because I'm eating for two. You know, I need an extra. And I don't know what's up with these cravings. I remember with Paul, my wife needed Mexican food like daily. Daily. And I'm like, if this baby comes out looking Mexican, we're going to have a talk. I'm not sure what's going on here, but I mean, it's like daily. Tacos and burritos and just, I got to have it. You know, I got to have it. And with Stacy, it was Subway. I should have brought stock in Subway. I mean, the new Subways you've seen pop up were probably from Stacy. I mean, you can see that. And then with one of them, it was ice cream. And thankfully, it was never ice cream and relish or ice cream and pickles or any of that kind of weirdness. But it was ice cream. And I mean, I'm going out in snowstorms because we ran out of ice cream. And praise the Lord for this. But hey, listen, men, be smart. She's doing all the work. She's got that sacred womb. She's forming your little babies. Get her what she needs. Just get her. Don't argue. If you wake up in the middle of the night, we're out of milk. Yes, ma'am. You know, you're crawling to the door looking for your shoes. Listen, there was a reason God did not choose men to have children. Because there would have been one. And the whole human race would have died. Because you ladies are so committed. You're so loving. Your tolerance for pain is enormous. Your connection to those babies is just amazing. I have the utmost respect, not just for the mother of my children, but for you mothers in this room, the mothers of every children. I respect you. And today we honor you for all that you do and going through the jaws of death. But it's an amazing fact that God is using your body to supply the nutritional needs of this baby. Now, we're going to read a verse here, and it's got a word in it. Our society has become so sexualized. Let's not have any snickering. This isn't a dirty word. This is the holy word of God. But it just states a fact. Look at Psalm chapter 22, verse 9. Look at verse 8. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Look at verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake my head, saying, or shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. So his enemies are saying, oh yeah, you're trusting in the Lord. How you doing right now? You know what? Sometimes you can be trusting the Lord and things look kind of dark. You can be doing the exact right thing and things get kind of tough. Things get difficult. Don't give up. That's not the time to begin to curse God or doubt God. That's the time where you say, my faith is still strong in the midst of trial and testing. And so the enemies, David's enemies, were even saying, listen, he trusted God. Go ahead and let God deliver you. You know what? God did deliver him. And if you stay faithful and you keep following God, God's going to deliver you too. So we just need to keep going. But look at verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. So here he says, listen, he goes all the way back to the womb. He said, listen, God, you've been protecting me since the womb. But thou art he that took me upon the womb, and thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. And so he's going back and saying, listen, this whole God thing to me is not new. I've been at this a long time. He said there came a time when he had to choose God himself, but he's understood that God has been involved in his life since the very moment of his physical birth and even through. But here we have this idea that not only does the mom provide the food for the baby inside the womb, but then after the baby comes out of the womb, the baby is provided food from the mother for the first few years of life. What a miracle. What a miracle in that wonderful connection that happens through baby and child. And then after your child's old enough to eat dry food, you're still keeping it alive with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Amen. My kids think they're dying sometimes. It's like, Dad, I'm hungry. You're all right. Dad, I'm going to die. You know, they've been dramatic. We just ate 20 minutes ago, kid. You know, it's like, get over it. But sometimes these kids, especially when they get to be teenagers, they eat you out of house and home, don't they? I had a family tell me just a few years ago that all of our teenagers left and went off to whatever they were going to do, and our grocery bill went down hundreds of dollars. They said it's like getting a raise. They got a raise. I'm going to go out and buy a Ferrari or something. You know, my teenagers are gone. But you still keep them alive with the nutrition and feeding them and so on. And so what a miracle of motherhood, the conception of life, the formation of the baby, the nutrition of the body. Let me finish by saying this. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 of Psalm 22. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Here's an interesting thought. I think David is going back and saying, look, I know you've been in my life since I was born. But interesting phrase, I was cast upon thee. He's talking to God. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Now what happened? Who cast David upon the womb? And here's what I believe. I believe David's mother, from the moment he was born, said, Lord, thank you for this baby. I give him to you. Lord, would you please help my baby grow up and love you? Would you help my baby get saved as soon as they're old enough to understand? Would you help my baby to get saved as soon as they're old enough? And Lord, would you help them to follow you? Lord, would you protect them from sin? Would you protect them from bad choices? Would you protect them from evil? Oh God, would you help my... Lord, I give you my child. Watch this. David was cast upon the Lord. And every parent in this room, I hope and pray that it's not just been a one-time thing, but your prayer for your children is, Lord, I give my children to you. I know my prayer, even when she got saved, she would pray and pray and pray that God would protect us. And I'd walk in the room, and one time when she was sick and she's in there crying, tears running down her face, she was laying on the bed this way and the door was here, and I walk in and she's praying. And I could hear her pray, and she's like, Lord, please take my children. Lord, I don't know how to help my children. Lord, I'm not a very good mother. Lord, I don't know what to do. I didn't grow up as a Christian. But she was casting us upon the Lord. And I've heard her pray that prayer countless times. And I believe with all my heart that if there's any reason, humanly speaking, why her children are following the Lord today, it's because that as a mother, she said, Lord, you got to take my kids. Lord, I give them to you. What a privilege. But see, David responded and he knew that mattered to him. And let me say this lastly, is when we talk about the miracle of motherhood, that not only do mothers get the conception of life, the formation of the body, the nutrition, formation of the baby, the nutrition of the body, but let me just say lastly that mothers provide the nurture of the soul. I want you to think about this with me just real quickly. There is no closer tie for a child than mother. Mothers, you not only get to nurture their little bodies, but in many ways you nurture their soul. You are forming who they are on the inside. I would agree with you that there probably are some predispositions built in, but good training, prayer, and I believe the input of the parents can override, and the help of God can override sinful predispositions. Would you agree with that? Of course, that's the whole purpose of becoming like God. But watch this, Mom. Especially in the beginning years of that baby's life, and really for its whole life, you have a special position in that baby's life where you literally nurture their soul. Your love puts something in them that nothing else can put into them. The hours that you look into their eyes, the hours that you pray for them, the kisses, the hugs, the late nights, all of those times you're building into them. The times when you were upset but you handled it properly, that's getting put into them. The times when you were angry but you didn't let anger overtake and you handled it as a Christian, that's getting put into them. How you handle problems, it's getting put into them. How you deal with your husband, it's getting put into them. It's amazing, not only just as much as in the womb they are taking that nutrition from you for their body, I believe with all my heart that they are taking nurture as you give it. They are taking nurture and God takes that and it becomes a building block of who they are. Their spirit, the way they look at life, their faith, their philosophy about life, their priorities, their actions. You have the unique privilege of nurturing all that into them from the very beginning. Wonderful thought. We started breeding puppies a few years ago. We had a couple. We thought, well, let's see what happens. It's good training for the kids and it's a little extra money to pay some medical bills. But it's interesting, when I started, I wanted to know how to have good puppies. And here's what they said. They said the puppy's personality depends on two factors. Number one, the temperament of the mother. Number two, the handling of the breeder. Those two things can overcome any built-in predispositions of the breed. And I thought, wow, think about that. The temperament of the mother. I believe you moms here still today, whether your kids may be grown, your temperament, the way you handle life, the way you interact with your children, the way you see life, the way you serve God, the way you come to church, all that is still matters for your babies. Because no matter how old they get, they're always going to be your babies. Thank God for mothers. Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you for the miracle of motherhood. Absolute miracle. And I pray that you would help us today to understand that we're in the presence of greatness when we see these mothers. I'm married to one, and I recognize her greatness today. It's the amazing gifts that you've given them, both physically and personality-wise, are just amazing. And Lord, I pray that each mother in this room today would feel loved and respected and encouraged and special. And Lord, that everybody in this room, we could look at motherhood a little bit differently. We can see these miracles and praise you for them. Thank you for the time we've spent today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. No reason to leave this place in your sins. You can be saved and forgiven today. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. The piano will play. We'll stand. A few people will come forward to pray up here towards the front. And if you're not saved, you can take a step out of your seat. I'll meet you down here, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Christians, would you thank God for your mother right now? Would you honor your mother? You say, well, my mom wasn't very good to me. Honor the position. Most mothers I know, I have met a few mothers that were truly evil. I hate to say that, but I have. Most mothers I know, regardless of how good of a parent they were, they really tried and did their best. The far, far majority. Then we have our own kids and we find out it's not so easy, is it? Oh, let's honor the position of motherhood today. If your moms are still alive, give them a call today. If they're close enough, hug their neck. Let them know you love them. Let's thank God above all for mothers. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the piano plays, the altar's open.